The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Get ready for another exciting weekend of college football with the Game Day Crew. Saturday morning at 3, Desmond, David, Herbie, and Lee. They'll be live from Happy Valley in State College. That's 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific on ESPN and the ESPN app. And what a spirited morning we have working for you here as we kick off week two of the NFL season tonight. Back on Get Up Here, live above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. As always, my Jets are in the house. Shefty, Lewis, Riddick, and a cast of thousands ready to go. Let's do it from above the Heineken River Deck, as I mentioned, at Pier 17. We're getting up with week two, in which one team has yet another obstacle. Is the latest injury finally the one the Cowboys cannot overcome? We'll get there. Meanwhile, it couldn't have started worse for Green Bay. We'll give you one big reason it might not get that much better for Aaron anytime soon. Plus, the QB question that remains unbearable. You'll hear a voice you trust say the coaches are getting it absolutely right. All that and more as we roll on here, getting up with you on ESPN. And it begins with the beginning of week two tonight. Giants at Washington. Our football power index, the analytics, giving Washington a 56% chance to win. That equates to a 2-point favorite, so it couldn't be any closer. And this is a very interesting game for two teams that have a lot of expectations, or at least interesting ones, and 0-2 is always a precarious place to wind up. So Shefty, I sort of want to open the question this way. Like, this entire season, we think, is a referendum on the quarterback in New York, on Daniel Jones. And while I fully understand that 2 weeks into it, no one is pulling the plug on anything, if the Giants look as bad tonight as they did on Sunday, what could the ramifications start to feel like in New York?
Well, Green, you know what it's going to be like in New York if they lose again and go to 0-2 and Daniel Jones struggles. Everybody's going to be wondering and talking about his future in New York. That just comes along with the job and with losses. The more they lose, the more he struggles, the more people are going to talk about it. And again, you just think back to all the quarterback decisions that this team made. They really liked Justin Herbert when he was considering coming out and decided to stay in school. They had the chance the next year to take Justin Herbert, but they took Daniel Jones the year before and then bypassed Justin Herbert for Andrew Thomas, the left tackle. And now here we have Justin Herbert turning into a superstar, Daniel Jones struggling. Referendum tonight, big test tonight, another game, another way to trigger the conversation that will occur if they lose again.
Absolutely. Lewis, how would you describe what's at stake tonight for the Giants with the risk of falling to 0-2?
Yeah, I think in the division, look, there's only going to be one team out of this division that makes the playoffs. The East is not going to send two teams to the playoffs. So I think every game matters when you're talking about division rivals matching up against each other, and you don't want to be the team that winds up 0-2. As far as Daniel Jones is concerned overall, though, look, there's no doubt. You go down 0-2 now and you lose to the Washington football team that just lost their starting quarterback in Ryan Fitzpatrick. Although Taylor Heineke is no slouch, I believe he will acquit himself just fine. But if you go down 0-2, there's going to be people who are like that whole drumbeat as far as, is it Dave Gettleman? Is it Joe Judge? Was it Daniel Jones? Whose fault is it all? That's just going to ramp up. It's going to become deafening in New York. And rightfully so. This team has struggled for quite a while now.
And you told us earlier that you believe the first place they will look to be on the coaching staff.
Yeah, absolutely. When you think about, you know, Jason Garrett was brought in to be a babysitter to Joe Judge, who had no head coaching experience. He was a guy who had been with the organization. But listen, I do local radio around here, national radio as well. If they lose tonight and they lose up to a backup quarterback that's named after a beverage, listen, I am going to start marching outside of MetLife Stadium and start saying, Lewis Riddick. Oh, for general manager.
Oh,
that's where I'm gonna start. I'm gonna be the leader of the fan club.
You're gonna have
to button that shirt up because I don't know if you can walk into an executive place showing your sternum.
My goodness.
Hey. I'm just saying, man, you can't fire people. I don't care.
Bart walks in here. Lewis, this is what Bart does. Bart walks in here. He's got people shaving their eyebrows. He's got you getting a new job here. I'm so uncomfortable. I don't know what to do here. So, Damian Woody, let me come to you, and I will ask you a similar question. Do you think that changes begin to get made in New York this quickly if they lose tonight?
Absolutely.
I think, you know, you've already started to hear whispers from people talking about Jason Garrett, you know, how unimaginative the offense is, yeah. and you know, it's just not utilizing the players. So I think if the struggles continue, the first – it's not going to be Dave Gettleman. It's going to be Jason Garrett, the offensive coordinator. That's where everything's going to start.
Wouldn't that be ironic? The world wanted him fired like 8 years in a row with the Cowboys, and they just kept bringing him back. And he winds up getting fired 2 weeks into the season with the Giants. That would really be a change of events. In the meantime, in that division, the really big news yesterday came from the Cowboys' practice, which could only be described as disastrous, and Shefty will explain that in a second. DeMarcus Lawrence, this is the headline here, he suffered a broken foot. That's going to cause him to miss 6 to 8 weeks, according to our Todd Archer, who covers the team. And the Cowboys have very little pass rushing depth behind him. Lawrence has 45 and a half career sacks. The next most by anyone on the roster is 10 and a half. That's by Randy Gregory, who is currently on the COVID list. So they're going to be without him as well. And Shefty, you were telling us, it's just fascinating. This was a disastrous day all the way around for the Cowboys.
Well, when practice started, Greeny, their assistant defensive line coach, Leon Lett, went down with a knee injury. I don't know how that happens at a practice with an assistant defensive line coach, but Leon Lett was carted off and now needs knee surgery. And then the practice begins, and DeMarcus Lawrence goes on a pass rush drill, a routine pass rush drill, and fractures a bone in his foot that will require surgery and sideline him 6 to 8 weeks. You take the best defensive player off Dallas's defense, the man that generates the most pressure on a defense that's already missing Randy Gregory for Sunday's game against the aforementioned Justin Herbert. And that's a big problem. Then you look at all the other players missing aside from Gregory and Lattimore. Michael Gallup nursing a calf injury. Lael Collins on a 5-game suspension for violating the substance abuse policy. So they're missing 4 key players here as they start their season 2 on a defensive unit that was maligned, questioned, criticized, and had to improve this year for this team to take the next step. And it now will have to do it without DeMarcus Lawrence for roughly the next 2 months.
And oh, by the way, they go and do it for the first time against a sneaky, great offensive team and offensive line in the Los Angeles Chargers on the road this week. The Cowboys were a 3.5-point underdog in this game for what it's worth. But you seem, Bart, I'm looking over at you, you seem very, very pessimistic about the Cowboys' chances of winning this game on Sunday.
Yeah, I didn't think they had a chance coming in, right? When you talk about cover three, I understand what cover three beaters are. You know, everybody here sitting at the table, including you, Greeny, understands how to beat it. But the problem with me is the fact that they're overusing Dak Prescott to me. If they can't establish a run, and now I know as a defensive line that if you're going to try and attempt to run the ball, it's going to be to my right side. I'm going to load up and stack my front over there knowing that whoever's on the left side, the replacement line of Collins, it should be barbecue chicken. It should look like Venezuela and Max Crosby last week. It should be beating like a drum. And defenses are going to hone in on that. And that puts too much in Dak Prescott's, you know, arm. He could be throwing the ball 50 times twice in 2 weeks. That's ridiculous.
Well, so I get, and particularly coming off all the injuries and everything else that he was coming off of, that is leaning a lot on him. But he was more than up to the task a week ago tonight, I guess it was, in the opener against Tampa. D. Wood, is this game, for them to have a chance to beat this Charger team, is this going to be a Dak game or maybe finally a Zeke Elliott game?
I still think it's going to be on Dak at the end of the day. I think what the Dallas Cowboys are going to do is they're going to put the ball in their best player's hand. And I know they paid Zeke Elliott a lot of money, but I think people are starting to come to the realization that Zeke Elliott is not the Zeke Elliott of three years ago. He's just not there. So you put the ball in the quarterback's hand, your best player, and you got to go out there and make plays. But Greeny, at the end of the day, it all goes back to the Dallas Cowboys defense, and that's going to be a major mismatch against the Los Angeles Chargers offense.
I agree, and I want to go more into that in a second, but let me just push back or at least ask again about something you just said. All I heard from everybody this summer, Zeke is in the best shape we've ever seen. He's lost all this
weight. That's a buzzword for us,
Hold on. Now I'm going to give you a comparison.
Go.
Remember when Le'Veon Bell came in great shape?
Best shape.
Le'Veon Bell was in the greatest shape of his life. And then he laid an egg.
Can I explain?
Laid an egg.
What happens is when you hear athletes say that, they understand that they're starting to slow down, their body's starting to change, so they go get in and try and shed as much weight as they can to try and get back that speed that they lost just from age. But whenever you hear a team say that they're restructuring the contract and they're giving somebody guaranteed money, they have a huge cap number, you know that they're walking the mile. We're talking about the green mile, going to old Sparky, getting ready to be released a year after that. Every athlete done it. I restructured. He restructured. What happened? We was unemployed and on ESPN the next year.
Your references are just remarkable to me in every conceivable way. Let me go back to Lewis on all of that. I mean, there's so much to unpack in this conversation. I'll give it to you on either one of those. How about the Zeke of it all? Again, I'm speaking as someone who drafted him in the first round of his fantasy draft, and the loss of DeMarcus Lawrence. These are tough times right now for the Cowboys.
Yeah, it's going to be tough times for you too, Green, if you drafted Ezekiel Elliott in the first round. I think it's going to be tough because, you know what, and it's not, you know, it's not so much I believe that Zeke has hit a wall. I don't think he's like what has happened to Le'Veon Bell, which really is a, you know, that's a shocker as how quickly he dropped off. I think Zeke is still capable of being a 1K back, of being a 1,000-yard back. This offensive line is just not dominant like it used to be. It's just not. And the whole structure of this offense now is built through Dak. It's not built through Zeke anymore. The plays are called differently. They spread it out more. They want to throw the football more. They don't even emphasize running the football the same way they used to. So I don't think it's going to be any, you know, it's not going to be the same as that anymore. But I think this team is unquestionably in trouble, though. It's in trouble because it's going to become very one-dimensional now from an offensive standpoint. Defensive linemen are going to just pin their ears back and go. They're going to definitely come off of Dak's front side. They're going to test the right side of this offensive line, no question, on the edges. And the defense itself, look, Dan Quinn was brought in with the philosophy of keep it simple, but keep it detailed within that simplicity as far as the Seattle cover three, and you must rush the passer. You must rush the passer. They can't rush the passer. They don't have people to rush the passer. And they don't have people in the back end to lock down top flight passing attacks, as you see on your screen right now. That's what it's going to look like a lot more for Dallas in the short term. A lot more of big explosive plays getting completed on them because they can't pressure the quarterback, they can't affect the pocket, and they can't cover in the back end. You tell me where they go from there. That's not being a hater, that's just being honest. So Cowboy Nation, you tell me where the juice is coming from on the defensive side of the ball. It's Dak, and really that's about it now for Dallas.
Chapty, in the short final term. Word. Chapty, quick final word.
Well, I think Dallas got a problem here on defense. It was all about how this defense was going to respond this year under the new defensive coordinator, Dan Quinn. And again, when we talk about Zeke also, I know that people are down on him, but he did also play one of the toughest, if not the toughest, run defense in the league in week one. If he can't run moving forward, yes, we'll continue to question him.
That's what I'm counting on, Shefty. That's what I'm counting on. We'll see. All right, we take a quick break. Coming up, it couldn't have started worse for Green Bay. We'll give you one big reason it might not get that much better for Aaron anytime soon. You need to hear that next. Plus, after another moral victory, the question in Cleveland is, are the Browns good enough to actually win these big games? We'll answer that. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Back on Get Up, and perhaps the most surprising result from week one of the season came in Jacksonville, where the Saints blew out Aaron Rodgers and the favorite Packers by 35 points. And after the game, Rodgers talked about how they need to pick up the pieces.
You know, we got to go back to the drawing board a little bit and figure out, because this will be, you know, I don't know if everybody's going to do this. Some coordinators like to run their stuff, but this will be, you know, the old blueprint starting the season on the Packers.
Isn't that interesting? And here's Rob Domofsky, who covers the Packers for us for so long and for so well. I guess that is an interesting question here, Rob. Did the Saints provide a blueprint for how to stop Aaron Rodgers?
The most interesting thing, Greeny, is that he brought the blueprint idea up, right? You heard it in that clip. Because in the past, he has completely scoffed at the idea that there is a blueprint to beat them. Now, maybe he was saying it facetiously. Maybe there was a little bit of an eye roll or some sarcasm in his voice. But the Saints did do something that has worked against Rodgers before, and that's sit back in coverage. Don't blitz hardly ever. The Saints sent more than four rushers only twice in that game. They sat back. They took Davante Adams away. They almost dared them to run the ball, and the Packers basically didn't run it. Now, Rodgers did say at the end of that, he said, well, hopefully they try it again next week, they meaning the Lions, because we'll be ready for it. My question, Greeny, is why weren't they ready for it with an entire offseason to prepare for this opener?
Well, I guess that is the point, that the entire offseason was filled with so much drama, all this roller coaster and Rodgers and everything else that you were on the show every single day talking about it. Did that contribute? Is it, the fact that they had that summer, is that the reason they had this opener?
Greeny, I am kicking myself for not asking that question in the post-game press conference. A couple people asked, well, Aaron, you didn't play in the preseason at all. Was that a factor? No, that wasn't the factor. But I guess the reason that I didn't ask it, if the offseason drama contributed, is because for 4, 5, 6 weeks, Greeny, like I talked to you about midway through the camp, Rodgers was incredibly sharp. He was hitting Davante Adams in stride. He was throwing deep to Marquez Valdez-Scantling. The play action was beautiful. Now, maybe, just maybe, that was more of a sign of how bad the Packers' defense was, because we saw that giving up 38 points in the opener.
That is where we're going next year. Outstanding, as always. Rob Domofsky, the best. Thank you very much. Let me bring the rest of the crew in here on that thought. Now, here's Jeff Darlington, who also covered that game for us on Sunday. And I guess I will ask it to you, having been there and seen it, should we be worried about Rodgers and the Packers?
First of all, I completely understand the height of the concern after a blowout like that. But I would just say, I talked to Matt LaFleur on Saturday before the game. And when it comes to, for instance, Aaron Rodgers, the relationship with the organization, yeah, it might be icy with the front office. But Matt LaFleur told me that he's closer with Aaron Rodgers than he's ever been. I asked him why he thinks that is. He said, because of the hard, honest conversations that we had to have all offseason. And I truly believe him when he says that. I don't think that this is one of those things where Matt feels like he's really close to Aaron, and then Aaron behind Matt's back's like, man, this guy thinks we're really close. Another assistant coach told me, this is a quote in a text, it's been great. Really, the entire camp and up to this point has been phenomenal. This is before the game, by the way. Number 12 has been awesome. As a dude, leader, teammate, obviously as a player, it's been incredible to be around. So for me, you've got the MVP of last year, who had a training camp, but by the coach's accounts, was exceptional. I have a tough time believing that all of a sudden that guy just stinks. I feel like this is an aberration. We'll find out. I guess that's clear and simple.
That's fair. And again, Lewis, you will have them Monday night against the Lions. But here's what I meant when I said there's one reason to believe it might not get that much better that fast for Rodgers. And Lewis, and that takes us to your point, which is it's not really about the offense.
No, I don't believe it is. Look, I think offense, I'll just touch on the offense real quick, Greeny. I think they will get things figured out here. Look, you know, Aaron is too smart. They have too many good players. They have too many good wide receivers. They have, too many good backs in order to not get it going. And I think this offensive line will be better and get better. And they went up against an absolute buzzsaw of a Saints defense that's going to be a lot better than people think. I think it's on the defensive side that really where people better, if they want to get worried after 1 week, that's where they better direct their attention, to the defensive side of the ball. Because, look, Joe Barry is the new defensive coordinator who was brought in there in order to take this defense to another level that supposedly Mike Pettine couldn't take it to. And what happened was Jameis Winston took this defense out to the woodshed and absolutely obliterated it, especially throwing the football. And they have to get better communication in the back end because they don't have a dominant pass rush. Although they have some great athletes up front in Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith, Rashawn Gary, they have some nice pieces as far as edge rushers are concerned. They don't overwhelm the pocket as far as their just one-on-one ability to beat offensive tackles and offensive guards. The secondary has to get it going, because if week one is any indication, they right now aren't on the same page in that way. And that's why they should dominate Detroit. But do not be surprised if Jared Goff puts up some numbers against this defense if they don't play better than they did last week.
So D. Woodland, let me come to you on this, because the bar for Green Bay is not winning a bad division. We can say they'll be fine because the division looks bad.
Yeah.
This is a Super Bowl or bust team.
Yeah.
With that as the perspective, how concerned are you about them right now?
I'm not concerned yet, Greeny. I'm not. You know, everyone talks about, you know, Aaron Rodgers. I think offensively they'll get things figured out. Lewis does bring up a good point about the defense. They got absolutely destroyed, manhandled on the defensive side of the football. I mean, the Saints ran right through that defense. That is alarming. But I tend to wait until after like the first four games. And Lewis will speak to this, because that's when teams start, you start noticing trends with the team. If after the month of September, if we're seeing similar things going on with the Packers, man, we're Booger call it DEFCON 1.
Yes.
We'll be in DEFCON 1 up in Lambeau if we're seeing similar performances.
We will see. Again, their next performance will be on Monday Night Football. Lewis and the crew will be there. In the meantime, a lot of other NFL news out there. Get me Schefter, and let's run the hurry up through a bunch of different items. Adam Schefter, beginning with the game tonight and Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, he's listed as questionable, Greeny, but the fact of the matter is the expectation is he will play. The Giants knew that it was going to be a quick turnaround, game Sunday against Denver, game Thursday night at Washington, and they've prepared for that. But Saquon had 10 carries on Sunday. I would look for something similar tonight against the Washington football team. Meanwhile, down in Jacksonville, with speculation swirling about Urban Meyer, he dismissed it yesterday and said he's not going to USC. He's staying in Jacksonville. And he even said that there's, quote unquote, no chance he'll wind up at USC leaving Jacksonville for that job. So take that for what it's worth. No chance Urban Meyer is going to USC, according to him himself. And yesterday, the Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski already ruled out Odell Beckham Jr. for Sunday's game against the Houston Texans. Coming off the ACL injury, didn't play week one, didn't feel completely right in pregame warmups, not going to play in week two. That's two straight games that he will be missing. I think the Browns are going to get ready for the Texans without him. They don't want any questions, speculation swirling, people wondering about whether Odell will or won't play. Kevin Stefanski answered that question resoundingly yesterday. He will not play Sunday against Houston, Greeny.
It's interesting. I think all of us are really interested to see what that offense, which has been so good for the last 10 or 12 games, will look like when they inject Odell into it. We'll have to wait at least one more week to find out. Meantime, as we continue next, it is the quarterback question that remains unbearable. You will hear a voice that you trust say the coaches in Chicago are getting it absolutely right. That's next.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up, and everybody's talking about the Bears. After a week one loss to the Rams, here's what the Bears have coming up. Sunday, they welcome Andy Dalton's longtime team, the Bengals, to Soldier Field, since he coming off a week one overtime win over the Vikings. Then week three, Chicago faces another team from Ohio, visiting the Browns in Cleveland. Browns were 6-2 at home last year. They'll be a prohibitive favorite, we would expect, in that game. Then week four, the Bears play their first divisional matchup of the season. That's at home against the Lions. They split two games with Detroit last year. So questions are, when will Justin Fields take the field? Here's Andy Dalton on Justin as a backup.
We have obviously had plays for him last week, and you know, there's times where you know he's coming in. Sometimes you're just waiting on the next play, and then he calls it. So, you know, I didn't think it affected my rhythm at all. When we did it in the red zone, you know, second time got down and Justin scored. So, I mean, we're trying to score touchdowns. You know, at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do.
All right, so that's how he sees it. But Jeff Darlington, let me just repeat to you what all of my Chicago friends are saying to me all the time. When the heck are they going to put Justin Fields out there? I can't stand this anymore. And that's after only one game. What's the answer to that question, Jeff?
I don't know if that was your Chicago impression, like Ninkovich, but it's not too bad. Hey, Lewis, that's the guy who I always want to hear from when we hear about the Bears, because this guy is dialed in and knows what's happening. Because from my perspective, when I talk to other people around the league, they're sitting here saying, look, this is the plan all along. Andy Dalton was going out negotiating his deal, basically demanding that he be the starter in week one. So we're not surprised that the Bears need to fulfill that obligation. And so that's kind of my headspace. Like, oh, it's just a matter of time. In week two, Justin Fields will be the starter. But here we are, week two coming up. Feels like Dalton's still going to be the starter. So I need, just like your friends with Chicago, I need Lewis to figure this one out for me, because I certainly can't, and neither can the rest of the league.
Lewis?
Well, all right. Let me see if I can help you out here, Darlington, Mr. Spinner Man, Finger Spinner Guy. Yeah, you know what? I said before the season started, I said right around week five, which is, I believe, where they go out to Las Vegas and play the Raiders, I said I thought that would be a time where Matt would feel comfortable to go ahead and start him on the road away from the home crowd, where, you know, Justin doesn't have to, like, hear all the excitement surrounding, you know, his first start at home with, you know, expectations being through the roof, although against the Lions. Most people would say, well, why wouldn't you start him against the Lions instead of the Raiders? I think around week four or five is when you will see this. I truly do believe that Matt really does not care about his own job status when it comes to whether or not they're winning football games. You know, and I say that with this, with this in mind. This is what I mean by this. I believe he's trying to take care of this kid for the long haul. He doesn't want him taking shots like he did against Buffalo. What happened against Buffalo really was his fault and his inability to recognize that, look, I need to get this ball out. This guy's unaccounted for. I need to throw this ball hot. And he doesn't want him taking shots like that. Because, look, every coach will tell you, quarterback is that one position where if you wind up fracturing and ruining a kid's confidence, your chances are slim and none of getting it back. And he doesn't want that to happen to Justin, even if it means having to take some L's early on in the season, although they don't want to take too many. Get that. He will sacrifice that in order to bring him on at the right time. Now, I have also said this. He needs to keep his ear to the ground as far as what's going on in his locker room. Because if his players are sitting there going, you know what, man? Look, I don't care what Coach Nagy thinks. They need to put Justin in there, and he starts to lose their respect and lose their attention. And then all of a sudden, things start fracturing and going sideways. That's the risk he's running every week that he keeps putting Andy out there, because he knows Andy is not as good as Justin. He knows that. So he's trying to find the right perfect time in order to do it. But the problem is, the other parts of this team also that he was counting on to be strong, right now after one week, look like they're a disaster. This defense better get it going, man. Sean Desai, their new defensive coordinator, someone that they love. But they got obliterated against the Rams. Yeah. Obliterated. So he's going to have to, all of a sudden, now he may have to change everything around and put Justin in there sooner rather than later.
Lewis, it's never a right time to say goodbye. We know that. But listen, this is absurd to me that we're going to respect Andy Dalton, one who he's a player who just got there. And I don't care how he negotiated his contract. Lewis, how many times you sat in the office, looked across from a player, and lied to him straight in his damn face? It doesn't matter what I told you. Hey, it matters what happens now.
Exactly.
Listen, like, Andy Dalton's absurd. Like, listen, he's not the best player for the team right now. You talk about RPOs, David Montgomery, you can protect this guy with slide protection, keeping guys in, 2-3-man routes, taking shots, RPOs. Listen, we all know that everybody's been lied to. Damon's been lied to. Greeny's been lied to. Damon Woody, watch it. Andy Dalton be the only person that get truth serum. Come on, get out of here. Kick rocks. Change the key code.
That's so true.
I think going back to what Lewis said, too, it's important to remember. Bill Polian once said, if you listen to the fans, you wind up sitting with the fans. The fans can want whatever they want. But to his point, if the locker room starts to turn on this situation, then he might have no choice but to make the decision quicker than he wants. In the meantime, I really want to ask you guys about one other marquee matchup. It comes up Sunday night, and it's always as interesting a game as you can have, at least in the pregame. It's Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs. It's Lamar Jackson and the Ravens, who come off an overtime loss to the Raiders last Monday night. Here's Lamar on the matchup.
It's not about, you know, me and Mahomes, not to me, you know, probably to everyone else, but, you know, it's the Ravens versus the Kansas City Chiefs. They did beat us, you know, three times or whatever, but that's in the past. But I'm not dwelling on those losses. You know, we coming Sunday night, and we're going to play.
And so, yes, I mean, the Chiefs have had their number, and I wanted to get the perspective of both of you guys. Lewis, I'll start with you, because, of course, you were there doing the game on Monday Night Football for the Ravens, and we've had some conversation here about how they just may be asking, with all the injuries and everything else, too much of Lamar Jackson for anyone, no matter how talented they are, to be able to carry them where they want to go. What is your perspective, having seen them in person?
Yeah, look, I think Lamar is built for it, okay? I think he can handle the responsibility of what they need him to do in the short term until they are at full strength on offense and the wide receivers in particular, like Rashad Bateman, come back. I think he's built for that. But what's going to have to happen is, look, Greg Roman, offensive coordinator, is going to have to make some adjustments as far as their pass protections to account for Alejandro Villanueva, which right from the get-go, you were like, oh, man. This is not going to be good. Max Crosby was sitting there going, I'm going to eat this guy alive, and he did all night long. He's going to have to make some adjustments on that end of things. Lamar's going to have to maintain his consistency throughout the course of a game, not have lulls during the game where his accuracy starts to suffer, although some of that could be due to chemistry with some new players, especially at running back. But he's built for it. He'll be able to handle it. The offensive line needs to be taken care of. Make some adjustments in protections to account for Villanueva's shortcomings. And on defense, let me just throw this in here. That secondary has to play much better. They are a man pressure scheme, Bart. You know it. You are a part of the Baltimore DNA. And if they can't cover better in the back end than they did against the Raiders, you know what Patrick Mahomes is going to do. You know what he's going to do to them if they put that performance on the field again.
Yeah, we call that barbecue chicken. Like, listen, people over there, listen, there's people in Kansas City defensive line room that are licking their chops. They're going rock, paper, scissors about who get to go against Villanueva. Mm. They better put a tight end over there. They better slide the coverage. They sign Andre Smith back, hoping that maybe he can come in, because that was horrible. Like, you can't be that bad on purpose sometimes, Greeny. Like, I don't want to check his bank account. But, you know, when you talk about what Lamar Jackson's doing, like, the problem has always been Wink Martindale has always tried to go man-to-man coverage against them. You have to go two-man against Kansas City. Press those guys. You can't let Tyreek Hill get off the line of scrimmage. You're going to have to play more discipline. You talk about no risky, no bisky, you know, on offense. You can't do it on defense. That cover zero, that play right into their hands, because people have finally figured out how to play cover zero. You fade back as far as you can. You throw up a hook shot up there because you're buying time, and Mahomes has the arm strength that if you get caught in that type of coverage, it could cost seven.
Well, when you are where the Ravens are right now, this might be the worst possible
matchup
that they could get, but we'll see what they wind up doing. Okay, now is the time of the show where I put myself in harm's way.
I have the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl, and Greeny, I'm going to go with... Okay, I'm going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
You took one in the jungle.
I'm hit.
It did hit me right in the chest.
See, that's why you got to wear goggles, folks, on this set.
So that was last week, and this is our favorite segment. It's Big Man, Tiny Helmets. You can't see that because D-Wood is so big that he's blocking out the words on the screen. But what we're going to do, this is how we pick the games here. We're going to give him a game, and he's going to smash the helmet of the team that's going to lose. So we start with Chiefs-Ravens. Kansas City is a 3.5-point favorite in the game we were just talking about. Which team is going to – who are we smashing today?
Yeah, Greeny, listen, I look at this matchup right here. The thing that just worries me about the Baltimore Ravens, they can't get a rush just on four people. They have to send pressure. And guess what? When you send pressure, it puts a lot of stress on the back end. So I gotta smash the Baltimore Ravens because they're going to be exposed and Pat Mahomes is going to let it rip.
He's batting 1,000 this year,
Greg. I got hit again. So we're going to have a meeting. In the meantime, to the next game. The next game is Chargers-Cowboys. Everyone has been all over this game all day long today. L.A. is a 3.5-point favorite at home against Dallas. D-Wood, which helmet gets smashed?
Yeah, man, this is a nightmarish matchup for the Dallas Cowboys, particularly on defense. We talked about DeMarcus Lawrence being out, Randy Gregory being out, and oh man, they gotta see Rashawn Slade and them boys up front. Come on now, it's wraps for the Dallas Cowboys.
Don't let them do it to us.
They're gonna go off.
Well, this is the one that makes me very nervous. We come over here to the D Wood Bowl. This is the Damian Woody Bowl. These are your two former teams. We've got the Patriots and the Jets. New England on the road is a 5.5-point favorite in this game. I have a bad feeling about this smashing.
Don't do it, Woody.
Greeny. This really hurts me, man. But yes. I know you watched the Jets game I watched the Jets game.
Sure.
Zach Wilson was running for his life.
Yes.
Don't do it. I mean, it was under constant pressure. New England has a really good front, defensive front, so I'm sorry.
Wow.
Like, I'm literally taking out the set here. That's where we're at with this man. Like, it was the projectile hit the lights and everything.
I hope that the sound was audible on the television. It hit something so hard that it actually sounded like a gong. I think it was one of our lights. One way or another,
you don't get it. D-Wood.
Those are the big man tiny helmet picks. He's got Kansas City, the Chargers,
listen,
and the Patriots.
I'm not paying for any damage in the set, so I'm letting everybody know that right now.
That's fair enough. I mean, I have to pay my doctor bills without that thing keeps hitting me. Okay. Saturday Night Football presented by Capital One coming your way. The annual whiteout game. It's number 22 Auburn taking on number 10 Penn State. It's the third ever meeting between these teams, and you'll see it 7:30 Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app. One app, one tap. D. Wood headed over to First Take. You are the best. Coming up, the Cowboys just keep losing key pieces with so many going down. Who are they counting on to carry them this week? We'll have the answer next. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
Back on Get Up in a Week 2 edition of More or Less. Lewis, Kyler Murray against Minnesota. 2.5 total touchdowns. You going more or less?
Oh, I'm definitely going more. Look, Kyler Murray was one of those people who during the preseason we all had discussions about whether or not they should have been playing more and whether they should have got more reps under their belt as an offense in those preseason games. Kyler Murray's never playing in the preseason again now after the way he looked last week. And I think after this week, He'll probably just sit out and just report to camp on opening day from now on going forward, because this kid lit it up, and I expect them to light Minnesota up again.
Bart, you're next. More or less, Tom Brady, 2.5 passing touchdowns against Atlanta.
Come on. Did you see Atlanta last week? This is homecoming for everybody in the football. When they circle in this game, this is how you get your Pro Bowl stats going up. You go against guys like this. You talk about rock, paper, scissors. You buying Tom biscuits, donuts, everything he want before the game because you want him to be happy and serve you up the ball. Oh, 2 or 5 or more should have been a better, more realistic answer.
You've got 5 for Tom Brady and such a unique way of delivering it. Lewis, back to you. More or less, Dak Prescott, 2.5 passing touchdowns against the L.A. Chargers. Which way do you go?
Yeah, man, Bart, man, come on, man. You know what? I will say this. It's going to be more. It'll be more for Dak simply because I think this is going to be a volume passing game for him. He's going to need to put the ball in the air because they're going to need to score points in order to match the Chargers' offense, which is going against a depleted Cowboys defense. And I think Dak is just in a zone. He really does look like someone who, from a mental standpoint, he's taking care of the physical part, but from a mental standpoint, he's taken his game to a whole new level to where he's playing in that matrix like all the great quarterbacks do, and it's fun to watch.
Absolutely, but I want to bring Shefty in on this point as well, because we touched on this a little bit earlier in the hour. That's a team that has a lot of stars, not just on their helmets, but obviously a lot of big names. There's no bigger star on that team than Ezekiel Elliott, and all I heard, Shefty, and I know you heard the same thing coming into the year, was he's in this great shape, he's lost all this weight, he just watch out for Zeke, he's going to be spectacular. And it's only one game, but clearly he was not featured in the offense last week and didn't do practically anything. Is the expectation that that offense is going to run through Zeke Elliott this year at all?
Well, I think that Zeke will be much better than he was. I don't know if it's going to run through him when they've got Dak Prescott and they've got the wide receivers and tight ends that they do. There's a lot of mouths to feed on that offense. I know Zeke likes to be fed all the time, but you got to feed a lot of different people there in Dallas. And yes, ideally they'd like to run it through him. And I would not be that discouraged yet. That was a game in the opener in which they fell behind, in which basically Tampa has a great run defense. I think Zeke will be better this season. I don't think it's a lost cause yet, Greeny. I don't think you should give up hope for your fantasy football team just yet. I think Zeke is going to rebound and have better days this season.
Yes, and again, for my fantasy team, I certainly hope so. But more significantly, you know, D. Wood, we were talking about this earlier, and the reality is when that team has been at its best in recent years, it has been when it's run through Zeke. Now, Dak Prescott has emerged since that time. He's a true NFL star right now. But balance and everything else, do you believe we've seen the best of Zeke Elliott?
I do. I do. I think, you know, once you get to that point where you're like, oh, I need to lose some weight, become the best shape. That to me, is a warning sign. I think it's a warning sign that you start to see your football mortality, yep, you know, right before you. So, listen, do I think that Zeke can have quality games?
Right.
Yeah, absolutely he can, because he's talented. But I think the days of, you know, the whole offense running through Zeke are over with now.
Can I point out that he is 26 years old? So, do you, Bart, see it that way as well?
And he's 37,000 years old in football years. When you talk about the running back and the wear and tear and tread, is it such thing as old 26-year-olds? Le'Veon Bell's only 29. When is the last time he played relevant football? He was like 25 years old, right? But really what you have to ask yourself, is this sustainable for success for Dallas Cowboys? It's not. You have to have balance, because what happens is big hits and tip balls change games, right? When you put the ball up 58 times, at one point, all it takes is one of those passes to be tipped, mm-hmm, and pick six going the other way, right? So you have to have balance, because if I'm a defender, I'm saying, okay, we're going to put our best, you know, pass defense out here. We're going to go out here and go light. We're going to put guys out here that can play in space, because they're not even attempting to run the ball. And with Lionel Collins being hurt, it's going to make it even easier, because you're going to say, my guy can beat your guy on the edge, so the edge is going to be set, so I can play light now.
And let's get back, for those who are just joining us and may not have heard, Shefty, there is a new reason why the Cowboys have concerns on the defensive side of the ball. It's not just about how good the Charger offense is, but the Cowboys are dropping like flies. What's the latest?
DeMarcus Lawrence, their great pass rusher, is going to be out for the next 6 to 8 weeks after fracturing a bone in his foot that now will require surgery. And maybe they should have known that that would happen during practice on a typical pass rush practice play, because earlier in the practice, their assistant defensive line coach, Leon Lett, needed to be carted off and now needs knee surgery after he got hurt. I haven't heard of too many assistant defensive line coaches getting hurt and being carted off before practice, no less followed by their star pass rusher hurting his foot during practice and now needing surgery that will sideline him about 2 months. Now you take out the fact that DeMarcus Lawrence won't be playing Sunday against the Chargers. Their other excellent pass rusher, Randy Gregory, is on the reserve COVID-19 list. They already have injuries to Michael Gallup, and Lael Collins is on a 5-game suspension. And this is not the type of way the Dallas Cowboys would have liked to have started their season.
Lewis, what does it add up to you as they head out to L.A. on Sunday?
Yeah, you know what? I just think that this is going to be a situation where they're going to have to score a lot, Greeny. Every possession is going to count. They have to score touchdowns, not kick field goals. And they're just going to have to hold on the defensive side of the football. And I'll tell you this, and I've said this in the beginning of the season, in the preseason, Micah Parsons is really going to hold the key to this defense when they were at 100%. Now that they're not at 100%, he cannot play in a sub-role where he is primarily a coverage defender. Number 11 needs to be going forward. Number 11 needs to be blitzing from all over the place, and they cannot just play their typical standard Seattle 3 where they're rushing 4 covering with 7. It can't be that way. It's got to be 5 or more, and 11's got to be a big part of it now.
It's going to be an interesting thing to watch for in what should be a fascinating game. All right, quickly, the U.S. women's national team plays their first match since the Olympics when they take on Paraguay tonight, 7:30 Eastern on ESPN2 and the app, one tap. We have a lot more to do, and then First Take takes over. Is Sunday's huge game between the Ravens and Chiefs all about the quarterbacks? Plus, is it now time for the Bears to start Justin Fields? Stephen A., Molly, and Dan Orlovsky debating. Top of the hour on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Here's our next UFC Fight Night, Saturday night from the Apex in Vegas. 6th-ranked Anthony Smith taking on 11th-ranked Ryan Spann in the middleweight main event. Main event starts at 7 Eastern on ESPN+. To get ESPN+, go to ESPNplus.com or download the ESPN app. All right, NFL Week 2 kicks off tonight. Our friends at Caesars see Washington as a slight favorite, currently sitting at minus 175. Daniel Jones, the G-man, plus 150 underdogs. Here's a stat for you. Daniel Jones, for his career going into this game, 40 career touchdowns, 40 career turnovers. So let's get to it here with the picks. I'm getting from everybody. Jeff Darlington, who you got tonight?
Well, first, I just want to upset Lewis while I'm making the pick, even though we probably agree. Let's just spin something. We'll spin a picture of Bill Murray. I got Washington.
Don't put an
eye out. No-brainer, Saquon.
That's ridiculous.
I'm just not sure about this.
That's not even safe.
Even if we agree on the Washington thing, I'm just doing this because I know it upsets Lewis
so very much. Lewis Riddick, who you like tonight?
I'm spinning Washington football team. I'm going with the pass rush. They have to get it cranked up tonight. They should feast against this offensive line. Knock it off, Jeff. Just knock it off. That's just
this
annoying.
This seems to
now
really trouble
just knock
Lewis
it off.
I enjoy watching Jeff spin things, and I enjoy even more how upset Lewis gets watching Jeff spin things. Who's next?
He
who's
does winning tonight? Get under my skin.
I'm going with the Giants. I believe that, you know, Daniel Jones, I believe, has never lost to the Washington football team. I believe too much in Saquon Barkley. At some point, he's got to come back and be the superhero that we all expect him to be. So I'm going to go with the G-man.
That is correct. He is 4-0 against the Washington football team and has 4 wins against the rest of the league combined. That's the stat on Daniel Jones. Who's next? D. Wood, who you got?
I got Washington football team. I'm going to piggyback off of Lewis. I think that Washington D-line will eat, feast.
What is this, feast Oregon Trail? You're just going to follow everybody?
Yeah. Show in.
Hey, I'm Jeff Darlington.
Can you guys?
Shefty's not look in the picks business, but he does get the final word on this Thursday. Go, Shefty.
I spin things on my finger. I'm Jeff Darlington.
Yeah, Daniel Jones is 4-0 against Washington. He's also 0-5 on primetime games. He's never won under the lights. And so we've got a situation here where I promise you tomorrow morning on Get Up, Greeny, you're going to be talking about the team who loses and the quarterback situation for that particular team. Whether Washington loses, should it reach out to Cam Newton? Whether the Giants lose, do they have the right guy in Daniel Jones? It's just fodder waiting for you on Friday morning's Get Up.
That's correct. Football Friday, we'll be ready for that. You guys are the best. Thank you, all of you, for getting up today. Jeff, I enjoy the spin.
No fatigue. It's still going, man.
Have a wonderful day. We'll see
you
tomorrow.
For you, Lou.
First take
all for you, Lou. All for you, Lou.